Gaiman in a blue suit. You're listening to Radio DePaul Sports, the student voice of your DePaul Blue Demons.
Campbell to Stonewall. Stonewall driving to the rim, goes up, gets it to fall, and one.
Oh, Max Drews brings down the house.
Radio DePaul Sports, your home for Blue Demon basketball.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Yo. Dude, I just realized I don't have a show intro. I still don't. And I find that kind of bizarre because I don't know. I feel like I should by this point. Like, we got two shows and we don't even have one intro. But whatever it is, what it is. It's supposed to go on at 4, so all right. You know what I'm saying? So all right. Had the youngins in here. This is new for me. Y'all don't usually hear me on Wednesdays. But I had some stuff to take care of at DePaul, finishing up some finals. It's about to be spring break, so I just decided to run it, just do a show, you know? Because I'm not going to be in town on Friday. I'm actually going to be in New York this upcoming Friday. So instead of my usual Friday 1 p.m. spot, we just going to run this. Am I a little loud on here? Let's fix these levels a little bit. But hope everybody's good. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. This is almost like my Friday because I'm going out of town tomorrow. Dude, I'm so ready to just this quarter was a lot, man. A lot. I hope you guys don't feel that way, though. I hope it was a good and easy and stress-free quarter for y'all. Like, I hope this finals, everything goes smooth, the rest of your classes, you know what I'm saying? I hope everybody's doing what they're doing. And I hope everybody enjoys their spring break. And let me start there. Because, like I said, yeah, I'm headed to New York. I just want to get out the city for a little minute, you know what I'm saying? But people can go anywhere for spring break. But the main thing is that we need to make sure that we do is to watch where you're consuming, you know what I'm saying? And then also to be safe just in general when it comes to travel, when it comes to your surroundings, the people you're with. Like, just stay safe, you guys, especially when you're in a place away from your normal place where you are. Just stay safe and stay alert, you know what I'm saying? Over spring break, we don't want you guys, we want everybody to come back in one piece, you know what I'm saying, and mentally there. So make sure you guys are staying safe over the break. I wanted to premise it with that because I saw this week, and this is what I'm also trying to bring into the show a little bit more, is just some more like things I find on socials, because I think they're great. I introduced a segment a couple weeks ago called Craziest Takes, and I didn't really have any last week, so I wasn't really worried about it, but I got a couple this week. Don't worry. But listen to this. This is what I saw on TikTok. This is a football coach just telling his players to make sure that they come back in one piece. And I think this is just a message that should be reiterated not only to your coaching, like to the team that you're coaching, but to your friend, like anybody who is headed out. Like, man, the times we live in.
Spring break. There's only one f***ing rule in spring break. Come back healthy. It's not worth you having such a great time that you don't come back healthy. Don't do any f***ing stupid. There's people that love you, and they're dependent on you to come back healthy. Don't take anything from anybody you don't know. You got kids in the Plano area, they got somebody laced something with some fentanyl, and that's the last somebody saw of them. That's a damn shame, especially for spring break. You go to a bar, make sure you don't trust the guys in the bar. The world's different now. You guys, that spring break we used to go, guys come back healthy. Now people are coming back dead. That's not right. Don't do that. Don't go somewhere and do something that's gonna cost your family. Next thing, drinking and driving. Be smart. Come back healthy, coach. Have a good time. You deserve 10 days off, but you don't deserve to die over spring break. Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. That's basically it. I just wanted to, I feel like our, who we are as journalists or media personalities, bro, it's not my responsibility, but I take it upon myself, bro. Cause man, it's too many young people dying like over nothing, and not even just young prodigies, like young people who are gonna be, but just young lives, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't want our generation to be the one that's lowering the life expectancy. But let's get into some more lighthearted things. You know what I'm saying? Spring break. You know what I'm saying? Finals. Hope everybody's going well. It's about to be the NCAA tournament. And I told myself I was done betting, like, last year. Or not last year. Last month, I said to myself, like, after the Super Bowl. Like, bro, I don't even, like, get enjoyment from sports betting at all. And that's another topic I wanted to cover today, too, was just the language of some of these sports betting commercials that I'm seeing recently. It's just so disheartening. And, like, the marketing on it is so... just like it's clearly trying to hook people. And we were on track actually to be the generation, and the last time I saw these statistics it was like 2018, so I can't really pull up the source right now, but I guarantee you it was like an actual study from Reuters or Statista or something like that. But our generation literally was statistically buying less tobacco than any other generation, and that was just a fact. Like you could track it. This was mostly because of the laws that have been implemented about like 18-year-olds or 21-year-olds having, like, you have to be that age to buy tobacco. But we were on the down, like on the downtrend for multiple like alcohol in Japan right now. And you can research this. In Japan right now, they're actually having a short, like, they're trying to figure out how to market alcohol to younger consumers because younger consumers just aren't using it as much as the older generations did. And they're trying to figure out how to sell the product. Like, they have a surplus. And then there was kind of a switch. Like, once all these things became portable, once, like, the cannabis industry grew and once the sports betting industry grew, these things that our generation was on track to change the trends about, it, like, did a complete reversal. And, like, the younger population, because we have a huge spending power, like something like $300 billion of spending power, you guys, like between the ages of 17 and like 24, 25, like those ages have an insane amount of spending power, even below those ages, you know what I'm saying? 13 and 17 have an insane amount of spending power. And I think that the sports gambling industries are trying to take those things over. I think it's a bit unethical almost, in my point of view, because I'll give an example. Like, some of the commercials that I see, and recently they have been on TikTok, and they're set up as native advertising. And native advertising means that it's set up as it's like sponsored content. And to explain that, it's like, imagine a musical artist gets interviewed outside of a concert. Or he gets a business proposal outside of a concert from his manager that says that if you promote this, they'll give you a certain amount of money, right? People who, and it doesn't matter if you use it or not, people who make, like, who use their likeness to make money, as in an artist or as in a celebrity, a public figure who uses their image and themselves as their means to make money, why would they not take this opportunity? You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's unethical for the person necessarily. Like, I've heard Drake get flack on there's a company called Stake, or, and they do sports gambling online, and Drake did a bunch of Twitch streams where he would win the fake $1 million. Like, they give him $1 million, or they say you're gonna win $1 million if you play this game on stream, and then he gets paid for that promotion of that. If you're about your bag, you're not gonna turn that down. So I'm not necessarily saying that it's unethical on part of the people who are taking the deals. I think it's unethical on the part of the brands, on DraftKings and FanDuel and Caesar Sportsbook and all these sports books, right? Points Bet, because the content is basically using an influencer on TikTok. This is where I've specifically seen it on TikTok. They will say, like, this better took $5 to make $200,000, like a crazy parlay, right? Ones that we see every day because people make them every day. Ones that we see, we don't have to go to this TikTok to see people hitting those bets. Like, they just come up in our feeds because that's the relevance that sports gambling has on our society right now. But what I'm saying is that these native advertising, they'll say, look at what this guy did. So it's not even, and it's from the provider. It's from DraftKings or it's from FanDuel. And it's just a random person acting like they're like showing a TikTok or showing like to get more engagement, you know? And I think that it's just a bit unethical, only because it's hard to decipher between. Obviously, they say ad at the bottom of the thing, but when the first 5 seconds of watching the video, it looks real and it sounds real. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just rubbing me the wrong way. I think that we have a long way to go in terms of like ethical advertising, and that's why I chose to be a public relations and advertising major at DePaul, because I feel as though I could maybe foster some of those directions, like be in the room to discuss these things. You know what I'm saying? To say like, well, I don't know if that might be the best, but it is what it is, man. People got to eat. Corporations got to make money. That's the society we live in. That's just my take on it. It's a bit interesting. NCAA basketball. This is what I started this premise with, y'all. I'm glad I did that, though, because I've been wanting to talk about that for like a few weeks. I was just taking all the time to kind of collect my thoughts about it and things like that. So I'm glad I got that out of the way. But men's tournament. I'm literally trying to find my bracket, y'all. Oh, I have to log into ESPN. So NBA bracket is NCAA bracket is back. There's a few interesting things about this tournament that are a bit strange, you know, that are like eerie about this because they don't happen often and things like that. You know what? I'll start this off with some of my bracket picks. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know anything going on in college basketball this year, but y'all know Kansas is my team, so I always got Kansas going to the national championship game, regardless of what I know about sports, or NCAA sports in this case. I always have KU going, but then the rest of my bracket looks a bit interesting. I loved the upsets last year with St. Peter's, and just I've been saying, you guys, that the talent is just spread out now. Like Bronny James is a great basketball player, but he's not the best in his class because there's like 15 kids. There's just so much talent. Like, as we get older and as we see sports evolve, the talent is just going to get better and better and better and better and better. And you can't deny this fact. Like, technology is getting better. Like, kids are, like, they're going to have a shoe that you literally won't break an ankle or where you won't tear your Achilles or, like, you won't. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to have this technology, bro. So what I'm saying is that there's talent everywhere. It's not just Duke and Kentucky and UNC. And a huge team missed the tournament this year that a lot of people were surprised about. They had some midseason woes. They couldn't really get it together. I'm not really going to get into, like, the rumors that were going around, but a lot of them were disproven through reaching out to RJ Davis and Caleb Love, proved that they weren't true. But a lot of just noise around that team and while they were kind of on their descent, and so I feel like people didn't really give them too much of an opportunity or too much of a look midway. Like, they kind of lost faith in them midway through the season, which was super interesting because they were the AP's former number one seed in the nation. So that's what makes it so outrageous, not just that it's UNC, not just that this is the first time this has happened in so long that UNC hasn't. But the fact that UNC went to the national championship game last year, they have Armando Bacot, RJ Davis, Caleb Love. They have three of their, and maybe another person, they have at least three of their starting five from the national championship game. And they weren't able to make the tournament. Like, that's what is the surprising fact, that they were the former number one seed from this year. And now that, so I don't know, man, a lot can happen. A lot can take place. So right now the one seeds stand at Alabama with Brandon Miller and Javon Quinterly over there. Houston is a one seed. Purdue is a one seed led by Zach Edey, and Kansas is a one seed as well. led by Grady Dick, and a couple more boys over there. Like I said, Kansas is my national champion. I have Kansas against Alabama, and then I have Alabama, Michigan State in the Final Four, and Houston and Kansas in the Final Four. But we'll see how it goes. Brackets are brackets. Those are just my picks. But these are the games that I'm most excited for. And I'll just talk about the early rounds because I really don't know. I'll talk about the round of 64 because I really, it's a prediction. Obviously, some people, you think you're going to know, but these are all predictions. So I'm just going to go off the first round matchups. But I'm most excited for Maryland, West Virginia, only because I think Maryland is really strong. I'm excited for Creighton and NC State because I don't think Creighton is strong, and I think NC State's going to take that game. I'm excited to just see Baylor play throughout this entire tournament, as well as Arizona for sure. Who else? Some people are saying Xavier's not even gonna make that happen. I think Auburn's gonna beat Iowa in the first round, 9 seed being the 8 seed, but then lose to Houston. But I'm really excited for that first round matchup, Iowa against Auburn. Auburn still got that young PG. As well as another team I'm going to get into in a second. Purdue's number one seed, so they're playing a 16 seed. I'm excited to see K-State. They're number three seed this year. I'm also excited to see Michigan State and Marquette. Marquette's in the Big East, and I don't really think they're too strong, but we'll see what happens. I have them losing to Michigan State in the second round. UCLA is another team that I'm really excited to see play. I think this could be like a coming out party for them. There's a lot of young cats on that squad, and they're the two seed. There's a lot of young cats on there, and I think they're going to get a lot of exposure because I haven't really been seeing their names in the first round conversations, but I think they're all great players, so I definitely think that something could happen. And little Northwestern got in the tournament this year, y'all. Hopefully, just for my Chicago pride, hopefully they don't go too far, but at the same time, with my Chicago pride, I want them to go as far as possible because they're our representative, you know? But it's all right. Gonzaga, TCU. That's the other team I wanted to get into a little bit because I love their squad. I feel like they just play with so much heart, man. I know that that's not always the thing, but college basketball, anything can happen. If you've watched one college basketball game in your life, you know that anything is possible, bro. You can't count anything out. If you, go look at the greatest comebacks of just this season in college basketball. Teams coming back in the last minute with 10 points to go. Just stuff you would not expect, man. And in March Madness, that's why they call it March Madness, my guy. So look out for TCU 6 seed, either getting ASU or Nevada, I think. Was that confirmed as Nevada? I'm not sure. And I'm really excited to see Illinois, obviously. But I think they're going down to KU's second round. Howard, also, I'm excited. I'm glad to see them in the tourney. But they're playing my Kansas. So, maybe we'll see an upset first round. Kansas going out in the first round. Those are my bracket predictions. I'm excited to see. I don't think I will be betting really this March Madness. I really just want to go see some good basketball. I wonder if they're going to have any games at the United Center because I'm definitely going to check those out. But all right, I'm going to pop into a break real quick, and then I'm going to come back with some more stuff.
Curling right side,
drills a jumper.
See what Struce does. He looks like he wants to shoot. I was kind of hoping he would pull up there and one.
Floater was wet.
Struce is loose. Curl three.
Three.
Bang.
You know it.
My goodness.
Struce on the other end gets it to fall and one.
Now top, he's got a double team. Now it's just Figueroa on him. Nice move. Quick move.
Wow.
Out of control.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, he was out of control. Max and he finished off last.
That is a new career high for Max Struce. He had 34 earlier this year. He's got 35 now.
You're listening to Radio DePaul Sports, the student voice of your DePaul Blue Demons.
I hope y'all didn't think that was technical difficulties with that kind of intro. A little Jesus Lord. Tell me if you know someone that needs Jesus. We all need Jesus, bro. We all need some positivity. Yo, bro, I'm just going to go over this now because I'm not getting to the NFL because I don't care. But the Bears did trade their number one overall pick in this year's draft. And this is what they received for it from the Carolina Panthers. The Bears received 9th overall pick. Wait, why can't I? Oh my gosh. 9th overall pick. 2nd round pick, 61. 2024 first round pick. 2025 second round pick. And wide receiver DJ Moore. You tell me if it's good, man. If that's a good trade. I'm just the messenger. Next. All right. I have a bone to pick with the NBA, and it's not even really the NBA. Some news got released today that Ja Morant will only serve a 8-game suspension for the clip that was posted with him holding a firearm in a nightclub. I think this is a great situation for him. I'm happy that he only received an 8-game suspension because I feel as though it's not fair to take the MVP of that squad away from that team for more than that because of this. I think that the NBA handled it by asking him to go to Florida and do whatever he had to do. And I'm glad to see that they're just taking everything into account and not just labeling him some kind of way. So I really like the way they handled that. I do also think that, and this is a take that I heard today, and this wasn't a crazy take, but it was a take that I really thought about. I think Gilbert Arenas or Shaq, one of the two, said that T. Morant has to do a better job of being a father and being a father figure for Ja. Because and that's not for me to say, but I think that take was a great take because we see T. Morant a lot. Like, out of all the NBA parents, we see Steph's parents a lot. LeBron's mom a little bit. But I think that we see Ja Morant's dad a lot. You know what I'm saying? And for him not to really say anything about this, I think it's kind of surprising. I'm not going to say whether it's bad or good, but I was kind of surprised to see T, like, not say anything. Like, he didn't say, like, yeah, Ja's got to get it together, or, like, yeah, he's a grown man, he's got to make better decisions. Like, I was expecting that, at least. Like, he's a grown man, he needs to, like, not, I'm not going to say I was expecting T Morant to take responsibility or nothing like that, but he should say, like, Ja is the face of this and this and this, and he needs to do it. But I was expecting that from T. So I'm really surprised not to see a statement from T. Morant in this. But that's neither here nor there. That's none of my business. And, Ja Morant, 8-game suspension, I think it's valid. He'll be back, and the Memphis Grizzlies will hopefully be able to compete for something because the West is looking kind of open right now. Dude, the Mavs might not even – well – let me not say anything, but look at the standings, man. Look at the, like, they're connected by a lot of games over there in the West. They're not spread apart. I think this 5th through, 12th seeds are separated by, 4 or 5 games, something like that total. So it's something crazy. Anything can happen in the West. The West is wide open. I think there's going to be, playing games to get to the playing games because there's going to be, 3 or 4 teams with the exact same record. That's what I think. But we'll see what happens. I still don't even get into my bone that I'm picking with the NBA right now. So, and it's not even anything that's going on. It's just like antics. It's like 2023, like where we are today, that it's so contextual, right? Like, I won't really, well, no. Never mind. So the NBA, there's plenty of players who have, like, they talk on podcasts, or they, NBA players are more vocal now today than they were in the past. Current players, I would say that. In talking to media personalities, talking to public figures, talking to internet personalities, talking to former players, interviewing, it's just more frequent right now. That's a fact. I have some preferences personally. I really like enjoyed Patrick Beverley's podcast when he first started, and now I think that he's gotten really pretentious and just not connecting with his fan base as much as he maybe was before. And like, that's for him to decide, but that's just my opinion. But I really enjoy listening to Gilbert Arenas, Iman Shumpert, JJ Redick, Kevin Garnett. I really enjoy listening to them. Paul Pierce a little bit too, but he's a little bit corny, in my opinion. But I really like, and it's a coincidence that I really like listening to former players talk rather than current players, as well as Paul George, who has a podcast now, who I don't enjoy listening to. I think he's got a few kernels of like, but I think the current players, and I don't even like KD when he goes on David Letterman and goes on whoever these people are. Like, honestly, bro, I don't know, bro. Sometimes you just want to, like, think of these people as, like, bots, bro. Like, they're so good at basketball. Like, they're so good at what they do. But obviously they have opinions. I'm not mad about their opinions. I just think, like, man, Patrick Beverley, just look at some of the stuff he says, man. I'm not going to play it because it's a bit of cursing on it. But he just came back to Chicago, and he's just talking, man. And I don't know if there's a place for it in like, society. Obviously, he's made a place for it. But I think Bron didn't even want a lot of that around the Lakers and around him. Like, just, why are you talking about me on your pod? Like, Devin Booker saying stuff about the podcast during the game. Like, Pat Bev is now using this podcast as, like, one of his, like, extensions of his arm, bro, honestly. And it's just kind of strange to me. Paul George also ranked himself in the top 5 two-way players ever. When he gave his starting five, he put himself in the in the shooting guard position. And I don't remember the last time I saw him make a defensive play. That's just me personally. Maybe I'm not watching the Clippers hard enough. But I would have put Kawhi there over myself if I was Paul George. I think Paul George is great. But he also, like, 3 weeks ago had a clip where he said that when he learned his role in OKC or wherever he was, that he didn't have to be that number one person anymore and he needed to make his teammates better. I thought that was a great growth step that a lot of NBA players, like, never get to, because they're all the best players on their high school and college teams. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. It's an ego thing. Like, it's just human nature. You know what I'm saying? I think that was really good of him, and then he just came back with that. And so I just think to myself, like, okay, well, yeah, you got to take everything with a grain of salt. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I was going to play a couple of their, but if you guys get the chance, go listen to Patrick Beverley's podcast, clips from it, and then go listen to Paul George's podcast, who are two current players. And then after you do that, go listen to a couple past players that you enjoy talking. Isaiah Thomas talks on NBA TV all the time. You guys know Shaq and Chuck talk all the time on TV. So there are plenty of players that, if you guys look up to them, Kobe had a few appearances on podcasts, or you enjoyed their play, go listen to how they talk and, like, how they talk about their careers and things like that, and make your own choices. But those are mine. I really like it. I really enjoy listening to former players' podcasts rather than younger current players' podcasts. I think that they're more engaging and they have a little more to offer. What else did I? Oh, another NBA news. Well, it's not news or anything like that, but I just wanted to talk about it because I really love, I just love the Pelicans so much. And I think that they're such a strong squad. And I'm kind of upset that they are in the place that they're in right now. I watched the Pelicans game against the Mavericks last week, and it was just like one of the most masterful performances I had seen in like such a long time, just by all these like role players, all these people who are finding themselves like learning how to play basketball, learning how to play on a team, learning how to play at the NBA level. Like, it's just so crazy to like see it in real time, you know what I'm saying? Like, watching players' growth and stuff like that. Like, when you know the sport and when you can like appreciate good sports, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just hits different, you know? I hate that term, but it's really accurate for this. The Pelicans are in 12th place, and they were literally in first place like a couple months ago. And it just begs, like, it makes you think, like, anything can happen, of course. And the first week is not reflective of the rest of the season. And just remember, guys, when they said last year, can we just skip to the NBA finals where the Lakers are playing the Nets? Like, can we just do that already? Like, they were literally like TNT. Like, I swear on my life, bro. Like, SportsCenter or ESPN, like, some verified account posted. Like, can we just skip to the NBA finals already? Like, go on No Context NBA and find it, because they repost it all the time. And it's like KD, James Harden, and Kyrie versus LeBron, AD, and Russell Westbrook. And then, like, the Lakers made the play-in last year. They're probably not going to make the playoffs this year. And the Nets just traded everybody. But the Nets are still in kind of good standing, I think. They're still in playoff contention right now. But, man, that was just so funny when they thought that that would work. And now all those players are on, well, a lot of those players are on different squads. LeBron and AD are still on the Lakers, but doesn't look like to me they're gonna get it done this year. We'll see. Yeah, that was kind of my last NBA bone to pick. And Iman Shumpert. I forgot to even mention him. I just saw him on my show prep for today. But that's a former player that I really enjoy listening to him talk about his time in the NBA. J.R. Smith too, he's great. D. Rose is a bit reserved. Like, he's a bit like, yeah. He's really from Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a Chicago guy. So, I mean, if you like D. Rose, that's a great person to go look at, actually, a former player. Iman and Derrick Rose. Because we in Chicago, y'all, duh. Yeah, I'm going to come back with a little bit of MLB. Probably 10 more minutes, y'all. All right, I'll be right back.
Turning my pain into purpose is pretty much what I have done to start this foundation.
In August 2020, after the death of George Floyd, Bridget Floyd and other family members established the George Floyd Memorial Foundation in support of the Black community.
It's going to take more than just us as a foundation. It's going to take the community, the world, to make a change.
Fight for racial justice for the Black community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Sports Flash, Monday through Thursday at 4 p.m. Bringing you everything sports. Only on Radio DePaul Sports, the student voice of your DePaul Blue Demons.
Yes, God. Bro, I love that song. I love this Kanye album, man. I love Kanye so much. I feel like I love Kanye how Kanye loves Kanye, literally. That's my guy, man. But yo, I just played that Sports Flash promo, bro. Shout out to them, dude. Shout out to the young Radio DePaul boys. Radio DePaul folks, not just the boys, the women too. I'm about to graduate in 10 weeks, so I think Radio DePaul is in great hands, y'all. Sometimes you always think, like, it's not even my stuff. I'm not even the general manager, but, man, it just, you're passing the torch at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not handing it over, but I'm passing the torch too at the same time. And it's nice to know that people still care. You know what I'm saying? People still care about the arts. Like, even if the schools don't care about the arts, even if they're not putting arts in the schools, the music in the schools, the arts in the schools, we keeping the art alive. So keep doing y'all thing, Sports Flash boys. I forget your names, but one of them, whereas he came in a nice shirt today, he said that's just his thing. He he just wears button ups. And I was like, man, I wish I was thinking like that when I was a freshman or an undergrad. I maybe would have got a job, a full time job in undergrad. But nah, shout out to them, real talk. They doing their thing. All right, the last thing I wanted to discuss, I don't really care about it because it really doesn't mean anything. But, well, I discussed last week, so the World Baseball Classic, like, there's a ton of NBA, MLB players who are playing on their country's respective squads, right, who are MLB players. If anybody gets hurt, like, God bless, you know what I'm saying? Like, I discussed this last week, how I feel about their million-dollar contracts that they're putting at jeopardy by playing for their teams. Whatever. That's okay. You know what I'm saying? But something that was one of the craziest things I saw this week, Shohei Ohtani hit a home run, and this is just like, it encompasses the difference in society in the United States and Japan and, like, what we value. And I've done quite a bit of research just through my years of Japan because I really enjoy Japanese culture and a lot of different Asian cultures, Korean culture, Filipino culture, Chinese culture, whatever the case may be. So I've wanted to study it to understand the differences as well. I come from Alameda, California. There's a whole bunch of Asian people, but they're all from different places. And a lot of people, when they see an Asian person, they might just say, oh, yeah, they're Chinese, like, because they don't know that there's multiple countries. Like, come on now. It's 2023. We should understand that there's multiple countries in Asia, not everybody. But what I'm saying is that I've done a little bit of research to understand the differences in what they value, especially through the lens of advertising. Like, there's a lot more family-oriented advertising in Japan and a lot more togetherness kind of vibe. You know what I'm saying? Versus in America, it's more individualistic and a more, like, pull yourself up by the bootstraps kind of vibe. You know what I'm saying? And so I noticed that Japan just puts more effort and more energy towards the togetherness of everybody. And this was exhibited perfectly in this when Shohei Ohtani hit a home run in the World Baseball Classic game. It was a game in Japan. And think about it, like, the last time they were able to see him play was probably a few years ago because he's been on his MLB contract for, I think, 3 or 4 years now. He was hurt for the first part of it, and then he started playing. I'm going to find this clip, and then I'm going to play it. It's literally insane. Where are my likes? Oh. There we go. Sorry, guys.
The 0-1 pitch taken high and deep to right field. Ohtani has blown the roof off the Tokyo Dome.
Where the ball was just politely and calmly passed around, everyone partaking in sharing this history tonight. The 0-1
pitch. That's a TikTok video. It's literally beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, to see people passing around a baseball after Shohei hit it, I don't think I've ever seen that before. Maybe sometimes a fan will give a ball to a kid, or a kid will give a ball to a girl or something in the crowd, right? And that's beautiful in itself. But this was them just appreciating greatness, and the person who caught it was such a generous human for letting that happen. But I feel like this isn't even uncommon in Japan. This is just something that we've never seen before. They passed around the ball, and everybody took pictures of it in their own hands, with the baseball field in the background and however they wanted to do it. But it was like everybody got to hold on to that moment. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got to touch that ball, and then he just got it back. They just gave it back to him. Nobody was like trying, like, I'm sure there's a market for sports memorabilia over there, but it's just not what he was really concerned about right there. And it was just crazy to see, like, the different priorities that people have. I think in America, if somebody asked to see it, like, you would think they were trying to steal it, you know? And I also saw another TikTok video this week about, like, Dubai, and obviously the wealth there is a lot higher. The average wealth is a lot higher there. So people aren't really thinking about the crime and stealing and things like that. But you can leave things anywhere in other countries, and they might not be touched. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously bad exists everywhere and good exists everywhere. But there are just some cultures that some things are less common, you know. Maybe crimes happen or violence happens in other ways, but just like these everyday things that we move past, that we just accept in society, they make America really rigid. And I think sometimes we need to have more flow. And I really like this example from the World Baseball Classic. And I hope that America can look at that in the best light and be able to take that maybe into something like some stuff that we do. And I would love to pass around to Albert Pujols' last home run ball. You know what I'm saying? Or like, you know, like that's what this is about. It was beautiful. It also kind of hurt my heart because I was like, man, I feel like something like this will never happen in America. But it's up to us to bring it here, right? We saw it. It's up to us to bring it here. But thank y'all. Thank y'all for listening. As always, this has been What You Might Have Missed with Chi. It's the 15th. I'm listening to a lot of Six Dogs, man. It's been a great show, actually. This was amazing. This might have been my best show. I don't think I stopped talking once. Like, I just, my brain was going. God bless. Everybody be safe, y'all. Like, for real. Peace.